Okay, one thing I'm very, very keen to do is to try and document online any oral history stories around Wivenhoe. I think there's so many stories that need to be told. A lot already have, and there's certainly other resources out there. There's the excellent Sea Change book, but I'm just such a big fan of oral history. I think it's very, very important to speak to people and to try and capture these stories. And what a good place to start. So I think I've probably hit Wivenhoe oral history gold. I've gone straight in and I've very, very kindly got some time with Daryl, who is a representative of the Queen's Road Residents Association. So it's Queen's Road, sort of down towards the lower end of the town. Daryl, so what is your role? And maybe let's ask, find out a bit more about the association, please.
Yes, I'm the treasurer of the Queen's Road Residents Association. I've lived in Wivenhoe for nearly 50 years, having moved here as a young child from London. Went away, worked in different parts of the country, and came back here to bring up my own children. Part of the real aims of the association is to build the community spirit in this part of the village. And one of the main aims of that is to try and recapture the excitement and community spirit that was in Wivenhoe in the early 60s when I was here.
Okay, so we're calling it, it is obviously the Queen's Road Residents Association, but sort of membership or interest or representation isn't really limited just to Queen's Road. So it's kind of really Queen's Road and the surrounding areas. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's correct. The core of it is the Queen's Road itself and the surrounding areas, but anyone can become a member of the association, and we have lots of links with other societies within Wivenhoe and organisations, and really acting as a focal point for that sort of interest in those objectives.
Okay, so if you're walking down Queen's Road, or even up Queen's Road, or a bit of both as it sort of slopes, people sort of must be familiar with the layout and the kind of features of it. So it's really, I think, quite a unique physical road. So I'm very, very keen, Dale, to find out, first of all, a good starting point about sort of when it was built and what it must have been like to live here around that time.
Well, the origins of the road, it was part of the Wivenhoe House estate. That was William Brummell that owned that, brother of Beau Brummell, the famous sort of male fashion guru of the Regency times. And after the Brummells left the house, a Mr. Harvey took over, and he was a former owner of the Wivenhoe Shipyard, a famous shipbuilder. And the land was broken up into lots. And part of that lot development was Queen's Road. And the houses were built for the people that lived and worked in the village. So there would be a big maritime connection, people that worked in the shipyards, people that worked in the industries of that time. Incidentally, when in the early 60s, there was a very active shipyard, and the whole community was very focused on employment within the town. And the local school, we used to get the afternoon off when there was a launch, and we'd go down. The bunting would be out, the beer barrels would be out for the ship workers to see the launch, the dignitaries there. And I remember one occasion the maroon went off, and the volunteer fire brigade, it was actually a lot of the ship workers, had to rush off and man the fire engine weaving its way out through the lower streets of Wivenhoe. Going back to the historical thing, in the 1860s, you can see these nice houses, and on the quay now it looks really elegant. You have to try and remember what life would have been like in those times. It was pretty hard. People had very difficult lives. And the lower quay, I know outside where the canning factory is, where the sprats would be loaded by the from the vessels, and the sprats were piled up, the excess sprats on the quayside, so that they could be used as fertilizer on the fields. And part of that, they'd actually put the night soil contents on them as well. So with the river, I can imagine in certain times of the year, it would be a bit high down there. But I think as we look at it now, it's useful to understand those structures and try and see what Wivenhoe was like.
Yeah, so the structures themselves, is there such a thing, Daryl, as what you would describe as a typical Queen's Road house? The kind of physical features and the way they look? Because these, I'm always really quite amazed. These seem, fairly kind of small houses from the outside. But I've heard stories of the way that they kind of stretch back, and are they all built to the same design?
And they're similar, but there are variations. Obviously, there's lots of areas where there's passageways through, and so obviously some of the houses have rooms over those passageways. There are a lot of old photographs of the houses. If you go to the our Queen's Road Residence blog, there's links to the history that I've been talking about and also photographs of them. And people have done some amazing things with the houses inside, maximising the space and making the features in them really part of the development.
And there's rumours, there's always rumours in Wivenhoe around the pubs, but there's rumours of secret underground passages and alleyways. Is that just Wivenhoe myth, do you think?
No, I think there's always space is always a premium in these things, and it's quite unusual for modern houses to have cellars, but old houses do have cellars, and certainly in Lower Wivenhoe, the places around there adjoining to the church. I used to work in the local hardware shop down there in East Street, and down in the cellar there was lots of sort of cubby holes and areas, and when there was some renovation was going on, there was a mummified cat found that was bricked up behind the fireplace, and believe that was left there for good luck. So, I think what the reasons for them are different, but there's quite a few myths about that, as you say.
Mm. And as the name suggests, so the Queen's Road Residents Association, this is now, I'd say, 100% a residential road, although there's the estate agents right on the corner by the high street. Has there been any history here of any kind of commercial activity or any shops, pubs?
Yeah, there's quite a few. Obviously, again, the website will point out the addresses and everything, but at the top end on the right-hand side, approaching the high street, there's buildings there that were pubs at one time. Obviously, there were lots of pubs in Wivenhoe, and it was a good place to go and keep warm at somebody else's expense as well. Wouldn't have been pubs like we know them. Been quite rough and ready. And there was a shop as well for a long time within the street on the section coming down from the high street before Park Road on the left-hand side. You can see the shop front there, and going back a very long time. And, it's recent history that it was active, and it was a grocer's and a local chandlery. And, all these shops, Wivenhoe was full of shops, and Queen's Road, no exception. The estate agents on the corner was a hardware store with all the baths and things hanging out, almost looking like an open all-hour shop. So some good photographs as that. But I think the other bit that's non-residential is the pump house, where 1901 a borehole was dug down 150 foot to the chalk, and that was the main source of water for the Wivenhoe. And a specialist pump house was built over the top of that to pump water up. That's now a residential building, but it's been really well restored. The well's still there. And opposite side of the road was a bungalow was built to the person who looks after the pump house lived in that. So, these things join up together. It's not just a normal row of houses.
And there's the brook as well, which runs underneath. Is that correct?
Yes. At the bottom of the hill, there's quite a weak bridge with a brook running underneath it. And that brook flows down from Upper Wivenhoe, up behind the cricket club there. It drains all the way back into the heartlands up towards the Grinstead area there. So it's quite a big outflow of water. And some people call it the town drain, but it's actually been adopted as a river by the Environment Agency. And it's important in that respect. And the association has actually researched that brook, the mills that were on it, and a lot of history. But personally, I really like that brook. It used to be totally open. It's covered now by the development, but it flowed round, and it had some really steep banks going down to it. And when it used to snow, the whole community of Wivenhoe used to go up into the area and sledge on those slopes. And it's a shame that's all gone now. It looked so picturesque. But that river has caused a bit of a difficulty in Queen's Road. Part of the association, we've assisted with the flooding problems that we've had down here. The drainage and the river had flooded and affected property down here. And as with all these things, there's always uncertainty of who's actually responsible, which government organisation has got to fix it. So the association was able to assist with that, coordinate and speak to them, and get the problem solved, and we continue to monitor that.
Yeah, because it's really quite a unique physical road. So it starts up towards by the high street, and it steeps all the way down sort of towards Park Road, and then back up again. and it seems it's a fairly smooth surface, but I gather it's not always been a roadworthy surface, or it's been quite rough at some stages, like Anglesey Road is at the moment.
Exactly, yeah. Queen's Road was made up at the top from the High Street to where the shop was, and then beyond that it was just an unmade road like Anglesey Road and Park Road was. I smile, I see the cyclists go flying down and get speed to go up the other side. In fact, you know, it's quite difficult to go down there on a bike when it's unmade and try and do the same thing. I used to deliver groceries for the co-op with one of those big old trade bikes like Granville, and flying down that slope and trying to get speed up the other side, you'd be lucky if you didn't drop a few tins off as you went down up the other side. But yeah, and I think one of the things there is, an unmade road, and the drainage often just runs down the unmade road. Once you start tarmacking it, you get problems with the drainage. So apart from the flooding, we're forever having to alert people that the drains are blocked and the leaves are in there. And so as well as looking at the history and having these community events that we run, it's useful just to keep an eye on things and make sure things are sorted out before they're going wrong.
Okay, so that's a bit about the sort of physical history of the road and some of the shops that have been there. Let's try and talk a bit more about some of the characters, because, you know, obviously for such a historic road, there's a lot of people have passed through here. Some of the stories are out there, they're sort of quite legendary. One name to throw in, Francis Bacon. So Francis Bacon, perhaps the most talented, one of the most famous artists of his generation in this country, he lived on Queen's Road here in Wivenhoe, or he had a property.
It's not my direct experience, but as I understand it, obviously it was almost like a Chelsea art colony down here in the 60s, and you'll see the names, the famous names that were down here. It's part of the sort of very sort of cosmopolitan aspect of Wivenhoe in those times. And it's alleged that Francis Bacon had a studio in one of the terraced houses here. I know the houses which are pointed out to be those be the location, but I can't really sort of confirm that. I mean, I think if we get in touch with our history association, they would actually be able to confirm that. It's not part of my direct experience, but I think there's always these things. People have these memories of things that have gone on, and obviously the stories get told many times, and with the internet, obviously spread even more. You know, I think people always sort of point to the Angry Brigade were there in there. There was a lot of activity. You remember, 1968, the sort of student revolution all over Europe, and people were toying with many different things. And there's different stories about what was found in the buildings, whether they're arms or whatever, or just agitation. But I do remember at the time there was a lot of activity, and there were people standing outside the local schools handing out the little red school book, trying to keep that sort of aspect going. But I think it's just there's so much incorrect material there, it's good to actually go and see what did really happen there from the sources.
So I think some of the facts that I've sort of read, I do know, also the Angry Brigade, it was this kind of anarchist collective group of fairly kind of young kids, basically, or like young adults, who are connected towards or loosely associated around the university. And we're talking when, around sort of 72-ish, 73?
I'm not too sure of the actual dates, but of that range. But as I say, you know, it's something I was following in the paper and I was aware of, but not able to give any other insight in there.
Okay. So bringing things more right up to date, more kind of relevant stuff and things that we sort of do know about and we can really confirm, all the kind of really good things around Queen Street. So the Queen's Road Residents Association, so when was this first set up, please?
It was set up in 2006-2007, and I think it was like all of Lower Wivenhoe, we were just really looking to see what the implications of the shipyard development was going to be doing. And obviously that's led to the association being set up. I think at the time there was obviously construction traffic coming down the road, and if you look on our website, you'll see some really quite horrific photographs of cars crushed by heavy traffic going down, and people standing out there looking at it, scratching their heads. And, it's really that sort of aspect makes people band together and say, what can we do about this?
So really, it was just literally having local people living next door to each other and being quite concerned about future developments, and knowing that really you'd have much more a better chance of influencing your own neighbourhood by acting collectively, you know, rather than individually. But it's not all, you know, about kind of campaigning. So it's really quite a social association.
Yeah, I think it was that change was sort of indicating that Wivenhoe, as we knew it, could actually be changing. So part of the association was saying, what do we believe in? What are we trying to preserve? How do we actually let people appreciate what we've got here? And it's one of these things people always regret after the time. So it's quite useful to have a focal point where people can come, put their views, discuss, and act as a community rather than just sitting there and moaning about things. So that was the trigger, but obviously, as we've said, it's become far greater than that.
Okay, so as well as being concerned about the whole development and having traffic passing down here, what are some of the other achievements that the association has managed to actually pull off?
Well, I think the thing there is making people within the road more aware of their neighbours and communicating. We have annual barbecues, we have Christmas parties, and anyone who's a member is welcome to come along to that. And there's all age groups. It's you know, we have people who've lived in Queen's Road all their lives, and you know, lived in the same house they were born there, and they've got some fantastic stories, far richer than I'm able to do here. And it's quite difficult when people are commuting or they're working away. You don't see your neighbours. You might know your immediate neighbours, but you don't know somebody four or five doors away. Through the association, you get to know people the whole length of the street. And yeah, it's just pleasant when you're walking down and you know who your neighbours are. We can help out if people are ill, they can't get out of the house, we can go and run errands for them. And as I mentioned about the flooding, if there's something that an individual resident is having a problem with, the rest of the community can help. They might know contacts, they might know who people they can go to. And so it's really you know, trying to foster that community spirit and let people pursue their aims that they might have. Like, history is a big thing. The board school, the Wivenhoe Primary School in Philip Road, it's one of the very early board schools that was set up in this area, quite a famous architect, and has some really great architectural features. So we've put forward for that to be listed. Sadly, that it wasn't a listed building after that, but it was on a list of special buildings, and part of the association has started a new group which has been able to list the historic buildings in Wivenhoe and linked in with the Colchester one. So when an interest arrives, there's sort of a sub-interest group gets set up and that goes on. And obviously, talking to yourself here, that's part of the links that we've got within the community.
Yeah. I think it's probably, it's obviously, you'd be a fool to try and predict the future, but this road has been standing for over a century or so now. Do you think, Daryl, that in the next 50, 100 years, there will still be people along Queen's Road in Wivenhoe having these conversations, mentioning, oh, here was that old digital podcast which those two characters did back in 2011. What would you think is the future of Queen's Road?
That's quite a very interesting thought, because I think, like yourself, where you're able to work a lot from home with these electronic services, and you're not tied to going to a place of business, pleasant places to live will always be attractive. So I could see that you know, an area like Queen's Road, where it's a great community and good properties, will be quite attractive to people to go to. And so you could actually see, yeah, unfortunately, you might actually find ourselves priced out of it by people wanting to get into here and have money to be able to do that. But I think, you know, Wivenhoe has got its special attractions. I mean, not everyone wants to live here. And some people want to live in large cities. They want that sort of nightlife and clubbing. But the people who are looking for, you know, a really lovely area in the northeast of Essex there, at this sort of hidden gem, you know, I think it will be always attractive. I can't see sort of commercial aspects coming in other than perhaps, you know, the sort of new industries of creativity and electronic, where you can live somewhere nice and pursue your business elsewhere. But it would be a shame, you know, if there was some sort of major redevelopment and things being knocked down to make do for something futuristic.
Yeah, the properties themselves seem structurally quite sound, and so yeah, you really can't predict what's going to happen. But you can't see the actual physical characteristics of the road changing, you know, in the next 25, 50 years or so.
No, I mean, obviously, if you leave the infrastructure in place, you know, the buildings themselves, it's you know, you're stuck with that sort of Victorian layout, and it's really how you adapt living to those old structures. And you know, I think the biggest factor is the people, and you know, the buildings are the same, the people have changed, and part of the what we're trying to do is to get people talking and see how they want it to change.
Okay.
And you know, by talking, you can influence what happens in the future.
Oh, wonderful. We seem to have gone sort of full circle. So right back from the history of Queen's Road and then the history again and maybe about what the future could be. That's been very, very interesting, Dale. So perhaps is it worth getting a few plugs in? So the Queen's Road Residents blog or any kind of online presence?
Yes, we have our own blog and we're on Twitter as well. But if you Google Queen's Road Residents Association Wivenhoe, you'll find those links. And if you would like to join the association, you can actually email me on darylw27@tiscali.co.uk, and be very pleased to contact you about joining the association.
I think just in that kind of exact, that last sentence really, that kind of encapsulates this conversation. I think it's wonderful. When these houses were built for the ship workers, would they have thought there'd be two guys sitting here saying, the Queen's Road Residents Association is on Twitter, you can contact us there. You know, this is just such a changing landscape, so you've like no idea where it's going. So Daryl, I've really enjoyed that chat. That's really good. That's very, very kind of you to explain a lot more about the road and the association and what happens. And yeah, there is a very, very genuine sense of something quite special has been put in place here. So thank you for that. And anybody else listening, you know, I'm personally keen to have these conversations with anybody who's got a story to tell. So, you know, you can contact me, there's contacts there on my blog. But so Daryl, thank you for your time. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks very much.